I am often asked what my favorite parts of the podcast are. I don't even have to take pause. It's the people. Every year, for our final episode before the new year, this look back, it is my most favorite. A moment to pause and reflect on what it was all about. Welcome to WonderCast, a community collaborative podcast supporting families navigating the complexities of chronic illness or injury. WonderCast is supported by the generous sponsorship of Texas Oncology. Texas Oncology, more breakthroughs, more victories, experts in cancer care. 2025, year in review. Let's do this.
Hi, my name is Megan Politis, and I am a program coordinator for KESM.
Hi there. I am Rachel Duff. I am a mama of three. I was diagnosed with stage 3 cervical cancer in September of 2020.
I am Missy Hicks. I have been a child life specialist for 37 years. I'm also a licensed mental health counselor.
Meredith? I have been a child life specialist for over 30 years. I'm not sure exactly how far back to count it.
My name is Ellie Ledeen, and I am a certified child life specialist. Been with Inheritance and Hope for about 2 years now.
My name is Renee Johnson. I have been with Inheritance of Hope for a little over 2 years now.
I'm Christy Apple. I am a recipient, I suppose you would say. My children are recipients of services through Wonders and Worries. It's been really beneficial to them. And I just happen to work in a medical field where I have conversations every day with people who have advanced diseases like cancer.
Hi, I'm Dr. Nichelle Haynes. I'm a perinatal psychiatrist here in Austin, Texas. I am co-owner of a practice, Reproductive Psychiatry and Counseling. I'm active on social media. I'm a podcaster with my own podcast, More Than Mom with Dr. Nichelle Haynes, where I help people try to find themselves in and beyond motherhood.
Hi, I'm Angie. I'm an incoming senior this year, and I've had 3 years on the council. This will be my 4th year. My mom had breast cancer when I was in kindergarten, so I was only 5 years old. I just remember learning a lot of coping skills, and I was with my sister too, so it was good to have someone with me. So she was diagnosed in January 2014, and then I started going to Wonders and Worries in February.
My name is Aria, and I'm going into my sophomore year, and next year will be my first year with Teen Council. My mom was diagnosed with ovarian cancer, I think, when I was 4, and she passed away when I was 6. And then I think we stopped Wonders and Worries like a couple years after she passed away.
Hi, my name is Nash. I've had the privilege of being a part of the Wonders and Worries Teen Council for the past 2 years now. I first became connected to Wonders and Worries as a client, along with my siblings. I have 3 younger siblings that I did it with too. And my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2022. And just in the past 2 years, being able to give back to the community like Wonders and Worries, it's just been the best thing ever.
My name is Leah, and I am born and raised in Louisville, Kentucky. I was diagnosed in December of 2019, with stage 4 non-small cell lung cancer.
My name's Bianca, born and raised in Massachusetts.
Laura Batts Townsend with the Louise H. Batts Patient Safety Foundation. I'm one of the co-founders of the foundation.
I'm Dr. Charles Holshouser. I'm a retired obstetrician and gynecologist. Became involved in patient safety when my sister, Louise, died in the hospital from excess sedation after a knee replacement.
Hi, my name is Sarah Paul. Thank you so much for having me today. I'm a licensed clinical oncology social worker and the senior director of social work at Cancer Care.
Madison Vanderland. I am the filmmaker behind Children of Disease, a feature-length documentary film.
My name is David Smith. I'm 42 years old. I'm married with 4 kids. I'm a wellness coach at WellMed. Work with 60-year-olds and older who want to live a healthy lifestyle. I'm legally blind, and so I play blind sports, mainly blind baseball. That's me.
Hi, I'm Crystal Yang, and I'm one of the founders here at Perky.
And I'm Courtney Delgado, also one of the founders here at Perky. And we're both registered nurses.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kelly Hunderstadt. I'm the Vice President of Network and Healthcare Partnerships at the Cancer Support Community, or CSC. I'm a social worker, and what I love about my job is I get to connect with the mission of CSC at all of our CSC and Gilda's Club locations worldwide.
Hi, I'm Kayla Vargas. I am the Program Manager for the Women's Fund for Health Education and Resiliency.
I'm Rochelle. I've been a social worker for 12 years, 4 years working in oncology. My experience with my family and cancer led me to my work.
All these incredible individuals sharing their medical journeys, community members stepping up and sharing about their resources, clinical experts sharing tools and research. So many helpers.
Well, Missy and I connected through a shared passion for supporting children when it was their parent with a serious illness. We had both been child life specialists working with children that had cancer and realized the incredible need that was there for children when it was their parent or primary caregiver that was experiencing the illness.
Importance of community-based programming, because I think we both had realized that when you're in a hospital and you're looking to refer out to somebody, sometimes it's hard to find someone with that same lens. You know, we weren't looking for necessarily children who were impacted by a clinical mental health diagnosis, but really a typical child coping with an atypical situation. And sort of that piece could really be provided in a community-based setting. That sort of intersection of all of those things led us to connecting and collaborating.
Once people are connected through our Hope Line and we've really understood what their needs are, we're able to connect them to either community resources or our own community programs that we've created to foster additional support and spaces for healing. So for instance, we have practical programs for children and teens affected by cancer. So in the fall, we do a back-to-school program, and we provide backpacks with school supplies to children and teens in the tri-state area that are really suffering from the financial burden of cancer and unable to get access to new materials. Really finding ways to support the community outside of just the psychosocial and psychoeducational support that we provide. Cancer care is really about supporting the whole person and finding places where maybe we can just help a little bit more.
We decided to really focus on the nipple tattoo because we thought the nipple tattoo had kind of been an afterthought in many reconstructive clinics, in oncology teams. Even patients didn't realize what to expect with the nipple tattoo.
And I think doing the nipple tattoo where we were, it gave us a really unique perspective on what these women really go through. It's a very personal thing. And you're in the chair for, you know, a certain period of time. And inevitably, you're talking about everything you've been through. And there's really not necessarily an outlet for that at your doctor's offices. The appointments are so short. Put us in a really cool position to support additionally. We're giving you a nipple tattoo, but we're also able to hear you out and let you air kind of the things that you've been going through side effect wise.
Oh, yeah. So it's like, let's create a safe space where they can come and just feel heard, appreciated, and know that this was created just for them in this chapter of survivorship.
So some people find out about us right away when they're first diagnosed, which is ideal. But a lot of people don't find out about us until they're through treatment, in their treatment. And so we can provide support at any time during that continuum of care. We also get into pre-survivorship and bereavement support as well.
So really the whole spectrum, which is awesome.
Do you feel that being a pre-survivor is still something that is somewhat taboo? Or do you feel like it is becoming more mainstream conversation?
I don't think we're all the way there yet. I think that these are, you know, I bring up this term to people and they've never heard of it before, even within the community, but we're getting there. Like, I feel the change even from when I entered into this realm. I feel like access to support has just increased. These conversations have increased, you know, different hospitals having high-risk clinics. I think that's just so important to have very specialized care and having providers who are aware of this type of care and having genetic counseling and having surveillance and having opportunities to have risk-reducing surgeries, I think is just going to be more understood. And like, why should we not have access to this?
At the very beginning, the first thing to do is take a breath and to give yourself grace. because, like, and this is a very common saying, but there really is no playbook for cancer.
My connection with lung cancer is in February 2023. My mom went to the emergency room with back pain, thinking she had a UTI that turned into a kidney infection. But essentially, she was diagnosed with lung cancer and passed away 3 weeks later, essentially never came home. It was just a really quick and shocking situation. I was 14 weeks pregnant at the time she died. And 5 months later, my dad developed a cough and he, you know, was, oh, it's lung cancer. It's lung cancer. Your mom just died of it. And dad, you don't have lung cancer. You're so healthy. And you go to the doctors all the time. Well, long story short, the day I delivered my daughter, my dad was diagnosed with stage 4 EGFR lung cancer, same as Leah. He unfortunately passed away this past May. And through all that, I just became involved in advocacy because it was just such a whirlwind and I was thrown into this world and I was trying to understand it. And I met so many people who were kind of similar age as me or having babies, but actually being the ones diagnosed with it versus like a caregiver. And it just really, I don't know, just shook me to my core that this was happening. And I had no idea, you know, at all. And like Leah is very passionate about bringing awareness to this population and supporting their kind of unique needs. And here we are with Young Lung Cancer Initiative.
So it's been an amazing journey from that point on. It's been a journey from tragedy to hope. And what we've been able to accomplish, we've raised close to $4 million for patient safety. And so what we did from that point on is that we wanted to make playbooks, basically, like how can we help people navigate the hospital experience? And so from that time, we've developed the BATS Guide for Bedside Advocacy that takes you through your whole hospital journey. And it takes you through every step before, during, and after. We have it in English, Spanish, Dutch. We have it for pediatrics, for transplant patients, for babies, for breast cancer patients, so many different specialties. I believe that my mom's story saves lives. And every time that when people have heard our story, when they heard it speak, it's not easy to speak it. I cry every single time. It's been 16 years. I'm never going to not feel that same pain. But when you have people come up and tell you, a nurse or somebody like that, that comes up and tell you they heard my story, they're like, I never, ever check a patient without thinking of your mom. I try to do it right. That's what saves lives, right? That's the hope, right? That comes from the tragedy that my mom faced.
Because there's no, this is your one-stop shop when it comes to supporting families impacted by cancer, right? It takes a village. And that's all of our like-minded organizations that do this work working together as well.
We provide hope and resources to young families facing the loss of a parent due to terminal illness.
Absolutely. Every single program at CASM is completely free. We also work with our families one-on-one to make sure that if we can provide the support to get them to our programs, we will. And that's going to look a little different for every family. So working with our families to ensure that they feel fully supported and are able to get everything they need.
They don't have a trusted adult that they can go to get accurate health information. And so they're relying on social media platforms like TikTok, Instagram, and Snapchat to get their health information. And as adults, we can, for a lot of us, we can decipher like, okay, this is not real. This isn't true or factual. But for them, you know, they kind of take everything in and they're like, well, I saw it on TikTok, so it must be true. And so I think having a safe, non-judgmental space where they can open up and ask questions about their health and receive factual answers is so important and kind of sets us apart from some other groups.
You know, our teens are our leaders and they are incredible role models for some of our younger kiddos at our program. So we want to make sure we also have that whole community piece as well at every single one of our programs, whether that's camp, day camp, or online through Club CASM.
How do you feel like your parents' illness or injury or what happened to your family has helped shape you to the person you are now?
I think for me, it definitely helped me kind of like at a young age, being able to learn coping skills and learn how to express your emotions better. It kind of helped me be more comfortable with that as I'm growing up and kind of become more emotionally mature. And then I also think the fact that my mom passed away caused me and my brother and my dad to be all closer. So I think that also affected me just growing up, being like really close to my family. Yeah,
absolutely.
For me, I mean, same as Aria, like I gained so many coping skills that I still use today, even just for little things like stress or anxiety. And that's just really helped me. And it
helps me understand more and get more empathy towards people and what they're going through in their lives.
Yeah, just my time with Wonders and Worries. It was just easy because I was around people that kind of understood what I was going through. I learned a lot of coping skills as well. And it just got me more comfortable expressing my emotions and sharing my story with others.
And every year I'm reminded just how deeply meaningful this work is. I support individuals and families navigating the challenges of cancer, including everything from diagnosis, treatment, caregiving, survivorship, and grief. Really, I've been always drawn to the places in life where things feel a little messy or uncertain, the kind of places where people don't always know how to talk about those things. And in many ways, that's what led me here to Oncology Social Work. So it's not just about helping in a crisis. It's about helping people feel seen and less alone in these moments that are often extremely isolating.
So like we have to talk out loud about this. If we don't talk about it, it will like literally suffocate us. And like that's so much of what happened to me and my family until we started talking about it. And we were forced to talk about it. Accidentally, I forced us to talk about it through making Children of Disease because I had to interview every single one of my family members. And then that got us talking. And it led to a lot of things that wouldn't happen otherwise if I hadn't started facilitating those conversations. We don't want to leave anything unsaid. You don't want to feel like, oh, I should have said that, or I wanted to say this and I didn't. You know, if you have the opportunity to say something, say it. It is messy. It's messy. That's just the way it is. But it's not meant to be perfect. You just have to try. You just have to say it.
So he had like telescopes and stuff, and he sent me this picture of the nebula. Can't remember what it was called. Like he took with his own thing. He goes, this is for you.
That's really nice.
And so, I have it saved. And, you know, when I look at it, it kind of reminds me that this isn't it. Like, this isn't like, yes, this is hard, but there's something better. You know what I mean? Whether that's after this life or after this experience and this life, good comes out of it somehow.
Just keep your head up. Keep trying. Remember your why, because there's always a reason to keep going.
You see, chronic illnesses and injury are exhaustive. The effects, they're felt every day, all day, and perhaps forever. That can be really isolating and heavy. But these voices, the people, they are helping to ease burdens in ways that they may not even fully grasp. They are standing beside their neighbor, sharing their story, their tools, their expertise, their compassion, and saying, you are not alone in this. We will get through this together. Thank you for tuning into our podcast today. Please subscribe and continue to check back as our content is ever evolving. For questions or specific content-related requests, please send an email to podcast@wondersandworries.org.